Accession number 17324, Reel 1.
Mr. Valchak, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Janówka, near Dubno, which is a region of Volyn, in then eastern Poland.
Which year was this?
1st of September, 1924.
Were you living in Janówka when the Germans attacked Poland on the 1st of September, 1939?
Yes, on that day, on 1st of September, I was at my home. I was going to go to school next day, and I very well remember this news on the wireless. And it was early in the morning. My father was a farmer, so we used to get up very early. And it was a great shock to learn that Germany finally attacked Poland, because there were rumors that they are going to do it, they are preparing themselves for the war. But we lived in the east part of Poland, and I was then only 15, and we thought that Poland was strong and that we will resist Germany for months or weeks or months. And it seemed that on the 1st of September the war was far away, but it was not so, because the Germans were moving very quickly into Poland, and the might was overwhelming against Polish army, and they had air force. And from very few days in September, we realized that the war probably would not be won, but that we would resist yet for quite a while. But people were fleeing from Western Poland, and I remember that on the 5th or 6th of September, there already were refugees who were coming on foot or by carts, and they were asking for refuge, or for them to stay overnight before they moved further to the east. And all the roads were congested with people coming from Western Poland. We knew that there were even raids in eastern part of Poland by Germans, but again it was far away. We did not think that Poland would collapse so quickly. But very soon, on 17th of September, we had another blow when Soviet Union attacked and entered Poland on 17th of September. And I remember it very well, that on that day I thought that, my God, that's the end. Poland will never be able to resist two big, mighty countries or armies. And it was like an abyss. One didn't know what to do. On the 3rd of September, I was taken to Równe, which is another town in Volyn, to a school, to grammar school, which I attended since 1937, and we were sent home almost the same day. So, although some schools were still teaching the children, our particular school, they made a break of about 2 months, I believe. Later on, children were asked to come back to school, but my father didn't want me to go. So, from September onwards, you could probably say that we did not know very much how the history is progressing. We did not know that on 17th of September till 19th of September, most of the Polish government and a lot of people escaped to Romania or Hungary or Czechoslovakia, as it was then known. We heard that there were fights by Polish or remnants of Polish army against Germans, and also against the Soviet Union, against the Bolsheviks. We soon heard that Warsaw has fallen in early October, that the last place in Westerplatte, near the sea, was also collapsed. And we knew that already we had two occupants, one in the west by Germans till Bug, which was a river used for demarcation between in Poland in the history. And from the east to Bug, it was Soviet Union which took over. And they took over the complete Eastern Europe. Not only did they invade Poland, but also Lithuania and Latvia. Maybe not at the same time, but we soon knew that all Eastern Europe is under influence of Soviet Union. I think Hungary and Romania tried to make deals with Soviet Union, and they were, or Germans, and maybe they were not suffering so much. They were not deported in such a big way as people from Poland.
What impression did the Soviet personnel make when you first saw them enter eastern Poland?
Well, we lived about a kilometer from the main road between Mlinów, Dubno and Równe, and we have seen the army moving along the main road. The army was not very well equipped. It was mainly horses and soldiers on foot. It seemed they were not very well armed. It seemed that they did not know where they were going and what they were going to do. But once the army went through and settled probably in the big towns, we did not see many Russians themselves. There were people who were organizing the local communities, and very soon there was an election, so-called election, and the result of it was that we have voted, I didn't, but elder people apparently voted to be joined to Soviet Union. And a lot of men were arrested and taken to prisons and maybe later deported to Soviet Union starting from September 1939. The families, my family was left alone till February 1940, but we were visited by various activists who were either Ukrainians or other Poles who had to help in administration, and we knew, and they were making the lists of people where they lived. But the life itself, because of our reserves, was yet not too bad. We didn't have any hunger, or we were not beaten, or things were not confiscated in my community where I lived anyway. So till February, in my case, it was very bad, very sad that we've lost our country. But everybody had hopes and thoughts that perhaps England and France will help, that they will attack Germany, and that maybe because of the attack on Germany by those two countries, Poland would not be suffering from German hands and Russian. There would be some hope that we will the matters will be sorted out and that we would be helped. But nothing like that happened, because France had no will to fight. England was not ready, although they declared war on the 3rd of September. England decided first to arm themselves, and they were doing that in a very big scale. And we were left alone. And like my father was left in my house, and he was not arrested. But for example, my wife's father was arrested. Many in my vicinity were arrested, taken to prisons. We were taken to Soviet Union in a mass deportation on 10th of February 1940. But maybe you'd like to ask me some other questions before.
Yes. Had you been aware of any pro-Soviet presence in your area before the Russian intervention?
Not in my area. We lived very well with the minorities, which were huge in eastern Poland. There were huge minorities of Ukrainians, of Jews, even Czechs and small minorities of Germans. And in my area, we lived quite well. There were no fights. There was no, it seemed, political activity to destabilize Poland in that area. I heard that in other areas there were some fights with Ukrainians. And immediately after the war in 1920, there were bands coming in from Soviet Union on the border. But then they formed a COP, which is like a COP for safeguarding of the frontier. Maybe it was 1925-26. And since then, there were not many incursions from Soviet Union. And maybe there were some spies, but I never heard of them. I don't think that it was on a big scale. There was some, I believe, Ukrainian activity, although Ukraine belonged to Soviet Union. Ukrainians always wanted to be independent. And there was some tension occasionally between our two nations. But I remember I went to school in Mlinov, which is about 10 kilometers from where I was born. And in my class, the majority of people were Jews and Ukrainians, and maybe 30% of Polish people. And it seemed that the schooling was going ahead. There were no fights. The same in Równe, where I went to grammar school in 1937. The grammar school was built by the settlers. Settlers were those who were given land, about 12 hectares or about 30 acres, as a reward for fighting, mainly in 1920 against Bolsheviks. And there were about 8,000 of those settlers who were given the land and to start their own farms. But the number of us were not so big, yet we were very important because people were better educated than the local other communities. And just before the war, the settlers' number grew with children up to about 60,000. And they were building their own schools, their own grammar schools. And I was in such a grammar school in Równe. But there were not too many other minorities in that school. But I know there were other grammar schools in Równe and Dubno, which was near where I lived. And it was quite harmonious living with the other minorities, as I call them. You asked me a question whether there was some Russian influence. I think maybe I was too young to know, and I don't want to say what I read. So it was not. I think Poland, very, very difficult beginning by late 30s. In the whole Poland, there was some beginnings of prosperity, but the settlers lived by that time quite well. They worked very hard. Yes.
But before the 17th of September, did you personally know of anybody who politically was a communist?
I personally didn't know anybody, but when we were deported in February 1940, there were some Ukrainians who were with the red bands. And they were saying, and there was one or two soldiers, Russian soldiers, and the Ukrainians were saying, "Oh well, we always knew that one day we would be the leaders." But it was not said with a big malice. I think it was just a matter of fact, and we were not beaten or anything like that at that time.
Now, can we go on to your deportation, and can you tell me what happened to you personally on that day when the Soviet authorities arrived?
Yes, the February 1940 was a very hard winter, maybe hardest for the last 10, 20 years, and there was snow everywhere. And although it was February, I was not in the school. Most children were also at home, and we were woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were given 1 hour to get our things ready. And there were three people, and they were we asked where we were going. My father asked where we were going, and they said, "Well, you're going to a better place where you're going to work." and spend quite a long time there. So you better take some things with you, whatever you can gather in 1 hour. And they especially mentioned in my case that we, in my family case, that we should take clothing and as much food as we can. And there was no action against it. I believe that in many other families, the people who were collecting the families for deportation, they were very hard, and people could hardly take anything, and there were fights, and not really fights, but maybe the husband of the family, or the main person of the family, would argue with them, and then they would put him in a corner and say, "I will shoot you if you move." So family could not get together to gather all the things to take with you to the deportations, because no one knew that we would be deported. We have not heard of deportations, which were apparently common in Soviet Union, from Ukraine, from Belarus, from other places. And we really believe that maybe we're just going to go to some other area, but not to a distant land. By 1939, my father was a good farmer. He was also a gardener, so we had a very big orchard, and my father was looking after many people's orchards, so he was paid for that. So we were not rich, but we had enough people at home. My parents could pay for my private education, and we had quite good reserves of food at home and also good clothing. So we took everything with us. But the irony of it was that after we got everything together, we were put in our own sledges, and our own horses took us to the railway station, which was in Zdolbunov. It's a station between Dubno and Rovne. And we were taken to this station because from there the Russian railway lines were starting, which had a different width than the Polish ones. And we were taken, I still can remember that the dogs were barking, and the animals, the cows and others, were there in the barns, and everything seemed peaceful. It was early morning, but we had to go on a journey to the railway station. And on the way to railway station, we met other people's sledges with our neighbors being taken also to the railway station in Zdolbunov.
And then
we were in Zdolbunov. We were probably for about 1 day and a half, because they were bringing people from various areas in Volyn. And the news of our deportations has spread around our village, and within hours we had our uncles and our aunts coming to the railway station, and they brought us some more food supplies, like flour and butter and bread and other things. And they, till later on, I met them, and they said, had they known that they could leave it with us, could bring us more stuff. But of course, they just brought whatever they thought is necessary for a short journey. I can still remember the faces, and they were allowed to stay near the wagons until we were departing. And you can see them crying and shouting, "God preserve you," and things like that. And it was very, very memorable. But not only my family had visitors, but also some others also had visitors. And I cannot remember the soldiers, Soviet Union soldiers, being rude, or they could not come to the wagon, but they could pass things. But they were not sort of rude or shooting people on the spot. I believe there were instances where that could not be done, but I was lucky that we could be visited by our family. And the wagons were those used for transporting goods. They had probably room for about 20 people, 30 people, but in my wagon there were 50, and we were sleeping on small beds, or not beds, but
benches.
Yeah, what did you say, sorry?
Benches.
Yes. So there were two layers of those benches, and you could not stand up, you could only sit down.
Bunks.
Yeah. Banks, yes. And in the middle, there was a hole for WC. And it was very, very, very difficult for young people, especially, and girls and ladies. 40 or 50 people in a wagon, congested area, not enough air, and no stove, just people had to sit there and eat and live for a few weeks, because our journey took a few weeks to Arkhangelsk Oblast. We were not traveling all the time. They would stop us on some stations, or leave us in some stations, or even in the middle of nowhere. At the stations, occasionally we were allowed to go out and take some hot water, but everybody had some bread and some provisions, so during that journey no one was hungry, I don't think so, anyway. And on the way we could not speak to anybody, could not see anybody. If we were sent to bring water, there was always sentries, soldiers with us. And it took about 3 weeks to get to Kotlas.
What visual impression did Russia make on you? Presumably it was your first time you'd ever seen it.
Well, it was winter, and it was very hard winter in Russia as well. So all I could see was snow and some settlements, and we were not allowed to even or get out or look through the windows, and there were no windows. There were just one or two openings on each side of the wagon, and I cannot say that we could have a good impression of what we saw, because very often daytime we were shunted to a sideline and we stopped there and traveling at night. I remember this, that we always seemed to be going at night and rattling of the wheels of the train, and seeing lights through very small openings, like probably cities we're passing near or villages. But no impression. I haven't got any special impressions of that journey. I know that by end of the 3 weeks, people were getting dirty and getting nervous and getting frightened, and everybody was getting on everybody's nerves. But I think, on the whole, people behaved quite well.
And you said you arrived at Kotlas.
Yes, Kotlas was the last station in that part of Arkhangelsk railway station, and everybody had to get out. And in our case, we were not resettled in any houses or community. We were asked to take transport. They were providing horses with sledges, and immediately after we arrived, we were taken to our settlements near Kotlas, which in my case was about 200 kilometers, and we were transported over the river Dvina, because winter time is completely frozen, and we're going up north. And it took, I think, a few days before we got there. We were housed in schools and other houses on the way.
Did this place have a name?
Where I went, yes, we went to a place which was called Dieluga, and the neighboring settlement camp was called Ust-Zaruba. And we were put in my place, the Yeluga. There were about 10 barracks, and there was one barrack for administration, and there was the common bathhouse, so to speak. And the families were put into barracks, which were constructed already in December 1939 and January 1940. So it seems that our deportation was planned very well, even a few months before. And I have heard later that there were the lists were made of all the settlers and policemen and officers or intelligentsia who were to be taken either on the first wave of deportations, which was in February 1940. There was another one in April, And there were deportations up to maybe even May 1941, just immediately before the war, German-Russian war. I believe the Germans invaded Russia in June 1941, and the last deportation was in May. So on the whole, all the settlers were deported to Soviet Union, about 60,000 people with the father, mothers and children. And during the deportation on 10th of February, there were about 110,000 people taken in one night. And I'm describing this in my video cassette because I made some research on it. Because in 1993, I went to visit Yeluga and Uzaruba, and I took some pictures and some video pictures of the places that I went, and also I met some people who were there when we were deported, who remembered our community, remembered the names of the people who were there. But that is another story.
What were the Poles at Yeluga expected to do?
Well, Arkhangelsk is hasn't got much industry or minerals. Its main activity or industry is wood cutting, wood processing. And immediately after we arrived, after a day or two, all the adults were asked to go and cut the woods, cut the branches, transport the wood to the river for later transportation by the river to Arkhangelsk, to the sea. And I was 15 and a half during the deportation, and I had to work from the first day. And I was given a task, a horse and a sledge, and I had to transport the wood from the cutting places to the small river. But my father had to work all the time. My mother, my youngest brother was seven, she was not asked to work. She was asked to help occasionally with the kitchen or the administration. My sister and my two brothers were asked to go to school, local school, which was only in Russian, they were not allowed to even to speak Polish in the school or to learn Polish. But we had to work almost 7 days a week. If we were behind norms, we were asked to go even on Sunday. And the places of work were usually a few kilometers from where we lived. But maybe I'll start with the barracks that we were housed in. The barrack that I was put in, we had eight families in one barracks. As you entered, there were two entrances to the barrack. On the first entrance, on two sides of the barrack, in the middle there were stoves. On two sides, you had families, and we were put in an area of about 2 by 3 meters, which is what, 6 by about 9 feet, and we had to live there for about almost 2 years under the banks. We would put our belongings and we're sleeping on straw. On that area, so it was very congested. One thing only, it was warm because wood was plentiful. But the in our part of the barrack there were four families: ourselves, stove, another family, and then break, and then another banks, stove, another family. So there were four families, consisting mostly the settlers had many children. Four in my case, but 4 to 6 in other cases. So in a very small area, there were many people. But daytime there was no one because